1 John chapter 5, a few moments tonight, looking at a subject which I think is appropriate for this time of the year. 1 John chapter 5, and we're going to start in verse 4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Then go down to verse 10, pick up the conversation again. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. This is a record that God gave, hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. Heavenly Father, I pray that as we take just a few moments to look at this subject this evening, I pray that you would help us, Lord, as always, do that which I can't, and that is speak to hearts. Lord, we come needing something from you, and we ask and claim your power in Jesus' name. Amen. I brought a couple object lessons. I'm not normally doing object lessons, but I figured it's Thursday night. If I don't have something, you guys will all be asleep. Know how you guys are. So, brought some object lessons. Now, I have right here a little tiny bullet. Probably can't see it. It was in my briefcase. It's old guys, you probably know that. All right, but right there we have that one. But then I have a bigger bullet. Oh, yeah. Then I got this kind of medium size right there. So I got three bullets there. Now, I could call somebody up here and say, you know what? I want you to stand here, and we're going to have a competition, and we're going to see, and we'll put up targets, and we're going to use these bullets. And some of you would be like, oh, man, I want the big bullet. But then I'd switch it up and say, all right, throw it. And you'd be like, no. I'm like, yeah. All right, now this bullet is super powerful. All right, and it's unbelievable. In fact, I could take the screen here, and we could show you damage. This is a 223 bullet. All right, this is just a 22. So we could just basically for hitmen, all right, we know they use that one, precise. But we want a little more damage, a little more fun, so we use the 223. Or here's the 30-30. All right, and we say, yeah, you know. But, and I could take the screen up there and show you all kinds of damage that a 30-30 or a 223, all these different things, the damage they have done. And then I'd say, yeah, see, look at that. So take this and throw it. I want to see you hit that target. It's in the back there. I mean, you see it. And I could show you on there a guy sitting there and he's shooting. But that's what you'd say. He's shooting. All right. So that's the object. Now, I also have another object here. It's a fan. And I would say, now, you're not going to believe the power that air can be. And I turn it on, and it barely, I know this one, it barely goes, all right? And you're like, are you sure it's going? Are you sure that it's blowing? Both of these objects are teaching us something coming to our topic. Because this right here, these right here, are worthless without what? The gun. It's basically harm. I mean, yeah, all right. I understand. All right. Yeah, I can take them and, you know, I can throw them in a fire. We're like, yeah, see, I caught you. I know how stupid, you know, our brains are. I'm like, yeah. All right. It's an object lesson. All right. It's not all the way perfect. Okay? But most of us are getting the point, and the point is this, that here with this bullet, it needs to be, there's something else that drives it, isn't it? That gives it the power. And the same with a fan, we could say, well, it's just air, but air by, just air by itself, but you bring that air into a hurricane, and guess what will happen? Some damage. Tonight, our topic is similar to that because many of us say we believe in prayer. We don't avail ourselves of it. In fact, sometimes it's just words. The Catholics pray a lot. Do you know that? But I don't think God hears their prayer, and I don't think God answers. Now, they may say that God is answering their prayers. I think it's just a clinkety-dink. All right, that something may happen and, hey, you know, oh, I was down there and this happened. I mean, don't you know? No, because biblically, there's one prayer that the unsaved can pray and God will hear. And that's a prayer of repentance. And God hears that every time. And God may be merciful and maybe he might extend somebody's life or he may heal somebody. He may do that to an unsaved person, but God's not really in that business of hearing their prayers. What we've got to understand is it's just like this bullet. The reason I'm using this illustration of this bullet is because the vehicle that you and, or the object that we have is prayer, praying to God through Jesus Christ. And guess what happens? Through that, that is the power. It's not just all of a sudden, I've got this magical potion or something. It's no, otherwise, it's just this bullet sitting by itself. Prayer changes things. What various hindrances we meet in coming to God's mercy seat. Yet we that know the worth of prayer find the need to be often there. Prayer makes the darkened cloud withdraw. Prayer climbs the ladder Jacob saw, gives exercise to faith and love, brings every blessing from above. Restraining prayer, we cease to fight. Prayer puts the devil's minions to flight. While Moses stood with arms spread wide, success was found on Israel's side. But when through weariness they fell, that moment Amalek prevailed. Have you no words? Ah, think again. Words flow apace when you complain and fill your fellow creature's ear with the sad tale of all your care. Were half the breath thus vainly spent to heaven in supplication sent, your cheerful song would oftener be, hear what the Lord has done for me. It is sad that for many of us, we do not go to that needed place of prayer. Because prayer changes things. A.J. Gordon says you can do more than pray after you prayed. But you can't do more than pray until you've prayed. Spurgeon says we cannot all argue, but we can all pray. We cannot all be leaders, but we can be pleaders. We cannot all be mighty in rhetoric, but we can all be prevalent in prayer. I would sooner see you eloquent with God than with man. And I would ask you tonight as we come to this subject, have you taken time to pray? And that should be a daily thing that we're doing. Daily, we should avail ourselves of this work that we have. Remember, it was during our Revolutionary War that George Washington, the leader of our army, at the winter headquarters of Valley Forge, the weather was bitterly cold. The soldiers had very little in warmth. They had lots of problems coming on. Food was scarce. The soldiers were discouraged. It seems as though the army was going to dissipate. It was at this lowest point that one of the soldiers, and we know it because now it's a picture saw their leader, George Washington, on his knees in the snow, coming to God. I say all of that to introduce our topic, and that is that prayer changes things. Quickly, we want to look at four things then this evening. First of all, look in our text in verse 14. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, what's the next words? He heareth us. First of all, prayer changes things. And because of that, guess what I know? According to this verse, God hears my prayer. God hears my prayer. Here in 1 John in verse 14, he says, if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. There are other verses that indicate this. And let me read just a couple of them. In Psalm 145 and verse 18, the Bible says, The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. And then in Proverbs 15 and verse 8, it says, the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to him, but the prayer of the upright is his delight. This is what I know about prayer. God hears my prayers. And God will hear your prayers, but he will hear none of them if you don't say them. He's not going to hear them. So I need to avail myself of prayer. Why? Because it can change things, but I'm not going to change anything when I don't go to God and pray. God promises to hear my prayers. Remember that in Matthew chapter 7, one of the illustrations that Christ used about prayer is of a father and a son. And what was the illustration? The illustration was that if a father, a human father who is frail and who has faults and who has errors, if a human father for sure will hear his son, how much more will not God? Because God does not have any errors or faults. He is not filled with flesh like we are. And if a human father will take time and say, this is my son or daughter, I am going to take time for them, then I know that my father, when I come to him, he will hear me. And that's what you can count on. You can bank on it. Prayer changes things. How will it be changed? How can God change things when you never go to him in prayer? God says that he cares about our prayers. He hears my prayers. Then look at in our text here in 1 John 5 and verse 15. And if we know that he hear us whatsoever we ask, we know that we, what's that word? Have. Not only does God hear my prayers, but God wants to answer my prayers. God wants to answer my prayers. And you'd say, well, it seems kind of simple. Well, I'm just giving you Bible, all right? But Psalm 34 and verse 15 says, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. And verse 17, the righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. We know this verse. We say it, we sing it, Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me, and I will ignore you. No, we're not talking about some of your brats. I understand. Call unto me and it's busy. Call unto me and I'm in the other room. I can't hear you. No, call unto me and I will. I will answer. God promises these things. And this is what's amazing to me as I was thinking about this. You can go through a lot of examples in the Bible. But two examples that kind of jump out, and you may say, why are these jumping out, is in Judges chapter 16, we read the story of Samson. And Samson, at the end of his life, after all he has done, and what do we know about Samson? Oh, yes, he was a strong man. He was a strong man because of God. In fact, because of God's spirit upon him. But what did Samson do all the time? Let God down, cheat, sin, over and over. But what do we find in Judges chapter 16? At the end, he calls out to God, and guess what God does? Answers him. And Jonah. Jonah chapter 1, we know that Jonah is Mr. Idiot Man. All right, here he's told something to do. I mean, it's not like it was hard to understand. It was go and preach to the heathen Ninevites. Are you? I'm not sure. No, he knew. And so what does Jonah do? He runs and he goes the opposite direction. And in Jonah chapter 2, Jonah calls out to God. And guess what God does? Answers him. This is what amazes me as I read the Bible. God says, you call and I will answer you. And this is what is, it boggles my mind, is because he is so merciful and he is so gracious that even when I am belligerent against him sometimes and I call out, he still will answer me. Because that's how much our God cares. That's how much God loves you and cares about us as individuals. Because God not only hears my prayers, but he wants to answer my prayers. Also see here, look at 1 John. And you may say, well, I don't say it, but 1 John chapter 5, we see in verse 13 and 14 and 15, we see that he hears us, that we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. And we go down to verse 20, and we know that the Son of God has come, hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. And basically, this whole passage, if you go back in verse 13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know. All right? Guess what? This first John epistle is written to believers. We know that. It's written, and he gives us the reason that it's written. Why is it written? That ye may know. For confidence, he's given it so that we have assurance. And he's given it to us, he's writing it to us so that we will come to him. So this is what I know. Not only will God hear my prayer, not only will God answer my prayer, but my prayer is important to him. Because he wrote a book for me. He wrote this down for me. That's how important you are to him. Don't let the devil say that God doesn't care about you. Don't let him say that he's not treating you right. Now, it could be true that some Christian doesn't treat you right. It could be that some authority doesn't treat you right. But it is never true of God. Because God always treats us right. In fact, he preserved this for you and I. Preserve it. And those that have studied the history, and we'll have a little more teaching on it next week as far as the history, and you can see down through the ages how God preserved his word for you and I. Why is that important? Because it says that I'm important to God. That's how much he cares about you and I. We are so important to him that God says, you get to pray and I will stop and I will pause and I'll hear you. That's important. Man, there's many times that we may know of somebody. We may have a relative. You know, you're talking with somebody sometime and they're like, well, I have a cousin that actually is married to this person, and you're starting to already get lost. And then they're like, yeah, and they were over a neighbor's house of the second cousin that they were married to, and they have a friend that came over, and you're like, oh, and they were best friends with the president. And you're like, so I'm not sure what does that mean? Well, they're trying to impress you that, well, I almost knew somebody that actually knew somebody that was a friend of somebody that had a cousin. And you're like, no. There's not even a, I mean, you can't even redneck relative that. All right? I mean, that's not even possible that way. Even in LaPorte, that wouldn't work. All right? But you'd say, wow. But guess what? As far as heaven, it's just straight there. Boldness to enter into his presence anytime. And most of us, we all have had that happen. Oh, really? You got to see so-and-so? And I know, that's kind of neat, maybe. But God? Anytime? Anywhere? Any place? Whenever you want? I'm busy. Well, you know, I mean, I don't know. I mean, does God really have power? Ask Texas. Ask Florida. Oh, yeah, he does. And he can beckon things. Remember when he was here on this earth, the disciples were just in shock because peace be still. And everything stopped. Chaos all around. And just three little words, boom, done. That's who we get to step into the presence of whenever you want. Whenever you want. So we see here in our text, we're seeing that our prayers, as far as God hears our prayers. And then you saw in our text in verse 15 that God wants to answer our prayers. And then in verse 13 and verse 20 that our prayers are important to him. But then look at verse 14, and this is the confidence that we have in him. And then in verse 13, that you may know. And actually in the whole context here, you see that it's building us up. What is it saying? For whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. I think in the context of the book, this is what he's saying. And even you can go to 1 John and chapter 1 and verse 9. There are benefits when I pray. Because God, through prayer, not only does he want to hear and does he, and he wants to answer and they're important to him, but through prayer, God changes me. And if you have spent time in prayer, you know God changes you. If you have not spent time in prayer, then you're the same. And you're the same as you were when you were, when you accepted Jesus as your Savior, and that is a shame. Why is it a shame? Because our life should be growing and maturing in God, growing and maturing in the image of Christ. And that comes through the Word of God and through the vehicle of prayer. And God can work you over in prayer. And if you haven't been worked over in prayer, then this is what I say. Then you are just playing around with prayer and you're not getting the full benefit of sonship. Because the full benefit of sonship is you get to step in his presence and he, as a dad, as a perfect father, he gets to mold and make you into a man or a woman. But he gets to make you into that perfect man. But it only comes when you step into his presence. Here you see that he says you get to have confidence. This is the confidence. You know why many of us do not have confidence inviting someone out to church? Because you're not in your prayer closet. You know why you don't have confidence in knowing different things about the book? Because you're not in the book and you're not with him together with the book. That means prayer. You come together with the book and with the Holy Spirit and you're praying. Guess what will happen? There'll be some confidence. There'll be some boldness that'll come. And you see that when someone truly got a hold of God, when God truly has their heart, when they have spent time with them. And I understand it's the power of the Holy Spirit. But what you see in the book of Acts is men that spent much time in prayer, much time in the Word of God. And all of a sudden there's a holy boldness that comes on them. You're like, oh, I don't know. I mean, will I offend them? I'm not saying that we're rude. What I'm saying is when the Holy Spirit, through prayer and the Word of God, when he comes in and changes you and he's working on you, there's a confidence, there's a knowledge that comes. and he brings things to remembrance. He helps you out. It's confidence. It's wisdom. Remember in James chapter 1, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. And what does he say? You bet I won't give it to you. Fat chance. That's in the Greek. What is he saying? He's going to give it to you. He's not going to hold anything back. Nothing good will he withhold. Will he? No, he won't. Why? Because God wants to hear our prayers. And I believe if we go to him, it says he will hear my prayer. He wants to answer my prayers. My prayers are important to him. But God wants to use prayer to change me. Maybe that's why some of you don't want to pray. Because as soon as you get down and you start praying, you shut up. Why? Because God's saying right there, well, I'm done. Lord, bless the missionaries. Bless. Oh, we got to go through this list. No. Let God do his work. Let him change you. It's confidence. It's wisdom. It's maturity. Maturity comes through spending time with Christ and with God. And that comes through prayer. I ask you then, are you praying like you should? One man said, pray on then, child of God, pray on. This is your duty and your task. To God, the answer belongs. Yours is the simpler part to ask. I go back to our illustration of a bullet. And some of you, like, oh yeah, I want that 30-30. Spiritually, you're doing this. And you're never seeing the true power of this. You're never seeing it. Why? Because you're going at it the wrong way. It's not, this bullet is useless sitting here. I mean, like I said, it's an object lesson, so you're coming up with all kinds of things. Yeah, it can be used. All right, it can be used as a keychain. Oh, yeah, I tricked you. It can be used as a pen. But that's not what it's for, is it? And the same thing in our life. God has given us prayer, and prayer is supposed to change things. And for many sitting here, you haven't seen an answer to prayer in months. And that's sad. Why not? I got up early one morning and rushed right into the day. I had so much to accomplish that I didn't have time to pray. Problems just tumbled about me and heavier came each task. Why doesn't God help me, I asked. He answered, you didn't ask. I wanted to see joy and beauty, but the day toiled on, gray and bleak. I wondered why God didn't show me. He said, because you didn't seek. I tried to come into God's presence. I used all my keys at the lock. God gently and lovingly chided, my child, you didn't knock. I woke up early this morning and paused before entering the day. I had so much to accomplish that I had to take time to pray. I ask you this evening, with all that life has for you, especially as you get older, you're married now, some of you now, you have children, now there's other responsibilities, then for sure I have. Because prayer changes things.